ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
So we are reading from Nectar of Devotion, The Complete Science of Bhakti Yoga, Introduction. Now, introduction first, I'll read first paragraph, which is actually just translation from the first shloka. Here you can see on the screen, of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now the thing is that Prabhupada did summary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, not like Gita. He didn't give every shloka translation, word to word meaning and then purport. What he did, he summarized it just like he did with Krishna book. No? He didn't give shloka, but he did translation of shloka. So the first paragraph, introduction, is basically nothing but the translation of the first shloka of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, I just read. Akhila Rasamrita Murti Prasrimara Ruchi Rudatara Kapalihi Kalita Shyama Lalito Radha Preyan Vidur Jayati. So a translation Prabhupada puts like this. Invoking auspiciousness. Lord Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the reservoir of all rasas or relationships, which are called neutrality, passive adoration, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, conjugal love, comedy, compassion, fear, chivalry, guestliness, wonder and devastation. He is the supreme attractive form, and by his universal and transcendental attractive features, he has captivated all the gopis, headed by Taraka, Palika, Shyama, Lalita, and ultimately Srimati Radharani. Let his lordship's grace be on us, so that there may not be any hindrance in the execution of this duty of writing the Nectar of Devotion, impelled by his divine grace, Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. Now, every book, at least in Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, we'll start with Mangala Charana, with invoking auspiciousness. Because no literature can be written without blessing of God. Nobody can, by his own mind, by his own intellect, enter into spiritual realm. Nobody can preach unless he's empowered by God. Particularly devotees, more than anybody knows this. And then first thing, Rupa Goswami, what he does, he offers respect to Lord Krishna to invoke his blessings. And ultimately, by pointing out Krishna in the first shloka of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he's giving us clear guidance. What's this book all about? It's all about Krishna. And Krishna is depicted with gopis here. And he is called Akhila Rasamrita Murti. What is that? Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the reservoir of all rasas. And then the worship, Shyama, Lalita, Radha are mentioned, Taraka. So, Palika, they are all mentioned here. So, Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, is supreme enjoyer, cause of all causes, and he reciprocates with all devotees through all different rasas. Akhila Rasamrita Murti. So, Rupa Goswami immediately defines, this is like summary of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in one shloka, basically. Here is explained what we are going to discuss in this book. And simultaneously, blessings are invoked, that may Lord Krishna bless us. So what Srila Prabhupada does, he just extends the invocation of Rupa Goswami on himself. He just extends and adds the last line, he says, that let his lordship's grace be on us, so that there may not be any hindrance in execution of this duty of writing Nectar of Devotion by the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. So, Srila Prabhupada said that when he got initiation, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada told him, his guru told him, you should study now Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Personally, he told him. So, by order of Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada translated all the major Goswami's books from Sanskrit or Bengali to English. So that was his service, to present teachings of Goswami's in English language to the Western world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that to preach in the West, to Western people. So by his order, Prabhupada is translating Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu now. So you see, Rupa Goswami is praying for blessings of Krishna, and Prabhupada also included his prayer to Krishna that let this order of my Guru Maharaj be carried out without hindrances. So this is a beauty of acharyas, that all of them, they acknowledge that blessing must come from Krishna and for previous acharyas. You know, otherwise nothing will be achieved, nothing will be accomplished. Nobody thinks in spiritual life, I am the doer, I have a credit, I know how to do. Nobody has this type of a hunger. Nobody. Nobody has any ahankar. Real ahankar means, I am dasa, servant of Lord. So this is how should book start, and this is really what is expressed here. So I want to show you this in the... So here, this is the first shloka. Akilara samrita muri, prasimara ruchi, rudra taraka palihi, kalita shyama, lalito radha, prayan, vidur jayati. This is the first shloka. So we will stop on this shloka, we'll discuss a little bit, because this is essential. This is first pranam is offered to Krishna. Invoking auspiciousness by addressing Krishna and his eternal associates. So this is another important thing to understand. And when we speak about Krishna, we speak about Krishna and his devotees. Krishna is never worshipped alone, because this is not his position. Krishna is always with his devotees. Just like when you say king, king is never alone. When you say king, immediately in mind comes the queen, the kingdom, kinsmen, the army, the ministers, the treasury. Everything is included in war king. Otherwise, what is the meaning of a king without all those? No? There's no meaning of that. So similarly, Krishna means Krishna and his devotees. Vaishnavas, they never worship Krishna alone. Either is Lakshmi Narayan, or Lakshmi Narsingha, or is it Prahlad Narsingha, or is it Radha and Krishna, or Sitaram. But never Krishna alone. No? And even if deity is prominent, say that in Nadwara, Shinaji is there. But again, there is a particular Gunja Mala which represents Srimati Radharani. There is a particular Murti of Yamuna Devi there. Vallabhacharya is there. So he's never alone. Krishna is not worshipped alone. Why? Because the main aspect of God and existence of all soul is that of rasa, exchanging relationship in these five rasas. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. This is reality. This is what is happening in spiritual world. That Krishna is enjoying lilas with his devotees. So he is never alone. He is not that type of God as conditioned soul would imagine. It's lonely, sitting on the cloud with long beard and throwing thunderbolts down, frustrated or something. This is how they depict it, mostly in Christianity. You can see the famous, who is it? Famous painting of Raffaello depicting God, no? What is how it looks like in Vatican, in the heart of Christianity? How God looks like? Old man with the beard giving life to the Adam. No, but it's not. Vedas say Nava Yovanam. God is always youthful. He doesn't get old. No? Blooming youth. So this also is indicated here. Now, there is a Back to Godhead magazine from 1960s, published by Srila Prabhupada before going to USA, before going to the West. And he given the commentary on this shloka. So I'll read from that. You can follow here on the screen. Here the word to word is given. Prabhupada was translated this shloka and give commentary. Here. Lord Sri Krishna, who is dearest consort, who is the dearest consort of Srimati Radharani, exists eternally with all glories. His all-inclusive personality, mellow. Mellow means rasa. It's very difficult to deal with English language and this rasic topics. Transcendental in his eternal form. By the expansion of his multi-attractive features, he is controlling deity of coward damsels like Taraka, Pali, with influence of Shyama and Lalita. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, is in his eternal form is glorified because he has endeared himself by his acts of benevolence in disseminating the different kinds of rasas or zest. Now this is another translation of rasa. Rasa is psychologically described as sense perception, but the sense perception which we experience in our material conception of life is a perverted reflection of reality. The reality is approached by self-realization of understanding the all-inclusive personal form of the Supreme, who is all-attractive Sri Krishna. The very name of Sri Krishna is suggestive of a conception of complete attraction by dint of wealth, strength, influence, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Now you can see this is the style is of Bhaktisiddhanta's English, you know, that language is used. So what Prabhupada says here is that Krishna is the enjoyer of all rasas, and he is all attractive by possessing six opulences. Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasya, Shiha, these are here mentioned, the wealth, strength, influence, beauty, knowledge, renunciation. Complete embodiment of all these opulences combined together in their fullness is exhibited by the manifest activities of the Lord when he is out of his causeless mercy within our view. Although the Supreme Person is transcendental to the speculative actions of thinking, feeling and willing of a living being. So now, what Srila Prabhupada said, that only when the Lord reveals himself, these opulences could be understood. Not by our mind, by our intellect or whatever, but any of our activities which are material cannot cause Lord to reveal himself. Only by spiritual activities Lord is pleased, and then he reveals himself. You know? The eternal consort of Srimati Radharani is Lord Sri Krishna, who is plenary manifested as the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, has his innumerable beams of expansion, and each and every one of them is complete bindu, or the one who has vanished all kinds of distress of a devotee. Even the asuras, or the atheists who are enemies of the Lord, are benefited by his causeless mercy, although specifically they appear to be slain by the Lord. Asuras who are killed by the Lord do also attain to the platform of mukti, or liberation, which is the destination of the impersonal empiric philosophers. As such, he is all attractive both for the asuras, or the non-devotees, materialistic living beings, and the suras, or the devotees. He is glorified evidently both by suras and asuras alike. In the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Sri Krishna was glorified even by the opposite camp of Arjun, when Bhishma addressed Lord Sri Krishna to be the relative of Arjun, the victorious warrior. And those who died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained the highest stage of liberation simply by fixing up their eyes over him while dying in the field. So this here, Prabhupada mentions these few points, that Krishna has rasa or relationship with everyone. So even with asura, even with atheistic people, somehow or other, if they got in touch with that transcendental form previously described, which is full of opulence, which is full of wealth, which is complete purnam, aishwarya, samagrasya, which was revealed by his own mercy. It means Bhagavan came on his own to material world. For what purpose? To deliver jivas. So when he came, even asuras, who had this fortune to have relation with him, either seeing him on battlefield or focusing his eyes upon his form, that was enough to give them moksha. Of course, moksha is not desired by devotees, because in moksha is impersonal liberation and you don't have spiritual body, so you cannot serve the Lord, which will be discussed in Bhakti Rasamrita in great detail. But the idea is that even this much relationship with the Lord given such a result. Whoever died on battlefield of Kurukshetra got moksha, whether Sura or Asura. And Suras, who are devotees, they attend spiritual body. They went to Vaikuntha. So we will see later on, Srila Prabhupada explained the difference. The spiritual world, Brahman, merging into impersonal Brahman, the rays, effulgence of Lord's body, is a Brahman. Yasya prabhava prabhavato jagadanta koti koti svashesha vasudadi vibhuti vidnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Or that in Isha Panishad said, hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham, that golden effulgence emanates from Lord's body, and indeed emanates from every Vaikuntha planet. What is that golden effulgence? And millions of jivas are coming out from the Lord's body continuously, shining. So this shining effulgence covers up, so shining that you can't see. Actually, if you look at the sun, you can't really see the planet now. What you will see, that halo you will see. So that halo, that shining effulgence of Lord's transcendental body, this is Brahma Jyoti. So what is the prayer in Isha Upanishad? Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihita mukham. That please remove that effulgence, Lord, so I can see your beautiful face. So God is a person, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the all Vaikuntha planets, they float in that effulgence. So this effulgence is a ray of the Lord. It's like a sunrise. No? So now you are sitting on the sun, Srinivas Krishna Prabhu. So can we say that? Definitely I can see. He's sitting on sun, he's sitting in the shade. But sitting on the sun means you will burn into ashes in the second. Not that you are sitting on the sun planet, but you are sitting on the sunrise. Sunrise is not different from sun. Sun has come, correct? Can I say sun has come? Definitely, this is how we say. Sun has come. But if sun comes here in our ashram, that's it, no more ashram. So the sun ray is simultaneously equal and different from the sun. So Brahman, simultaneously equal with the Lord because it's coming from the Lord. But again, it's different because it's just Lord's effulgence, really. So to realize Brahman is really to realize partially the truth, not fully. So what happened is that Brahman is spiritual, is eternal. Sat aspect of Sat Chit Anand, Sat and partially Chit. Eternity is realized in Brahman and partially Chit, partial knowledge. That I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. That is realized. But the second part of knowledge, that I am servant of Krishna and there is a personality of Godhead and Sachit Anand. Anand is not realized there. Brahmananda is realized, but not Premananda. Because one does not know relationship with God. So what happened is that impersonalists who worship Brahman, who meditate on impersonal Brahman, who have desire of merging to Brahman, they are really transcendentalists. They come out of material world, but they go to that effulgence, but they don't enter to Vaikuntha planets. And later on you will see Acharya says, Prabhupada says that entering into kingdom of a king is different from entering into king's palace. No? King's palace is also kingdom of God. But palace is intimate and personal, private area of the king. So impersonalists, they enter into spiritual world, but they don't enter into Vaikuntha planets. They are not allowed to see the Lord or to hear Him or to enter into Leelas with the Lord. They just float in the Brahman, enjoying bliss. I'm eternal, I don't have to take birth again. But they can't communicate with other souls. There is no activity because there is no spiritual body. So it's just consciousness, the pleasure of being conscious that I'm not material, I have nothing to do with material world, I'm out of material world, I have not suffered repeated birth and death, and just get frozen in that type of consciousness. So here Prabhupada mentions that asuras who seen the Lord, by seeing the Lord, all their sins are vanished. Just by seeing the Lord, your sins are gone. This is the power of having darshan with the Lord. No? Not that people were speaking that Puttaparthi, that Sai Baba, is Bhagavan. So after seeing him and touching his feet, you should be free from all sin? Moksha. But opposite. Touch his feet, you get more sin on you. You know? No? So people couldn't understand. Having darshan with Lord means you are free from all sin. Dhruva Maharaj had darshan with Lord, free from all sin. No? So the point is here that asuras, who are sinful, therefore the asuras, atheists, they don't believe in God. They were exploiting. They were sinful. By seeing the Lord, by fixing eyes upon the form of the Lord, they are free from sin. So they don't have to birth. They don't have to take birth again. But they are not devotees. They are not established rasa with the Lord. So where they will go? Not to Vaikuntha. They have to go to Brahman. So look at the destination of asuras. They merge into Brahman. Look at the destination of impersonalists. They also merge to Brahman. No? So this is not glorious position. This is not, you know. Hanuman didn't go to Brahman. Arjun didn't go to Brahman. Who went to Brahman? Kamsa, Shishupal, Dantavakra. All the asuras killed by Krishna, they went to Brahman. So which process you want to follow? Where you want to go? Where asuras go? Or where suras they go? Later on that will be discussed in detail by Jiva Goswami. You know? So here, this is the point, the benefit, that Lord has relation with everyone and He is so beneficial for everyone. And even if they just kept eye on Him, simply by fixing up their eyes over Him while dying in field, they got the liberation. Those who were devotees, they went to Vaikuntha. Those who were asuras, they merged into Brahman. But it's a blessing. You don't have to take birth again. Okay. By His fullness of opulences, and on account of His becoming the one without second competitor, and His being the Lord of all creatures, He is worshipped even by supreme directors of the cosmic creation. That means that all demigods, they worship the Lord, including Prajapatis. No, anybody, any administrator of the universal affairs, everybody worships the Lord. He is attractive even by His personal decorative features. Lord Krishna is observed always decorated with multi-ornaments of apposition. His earrings, His crown, His bangles, His knuckles and belt, bedecked with most valuable jewels, and His attractive smiling face, smeared with the pulp of sandalwood on the forehead, and His yellowish silken garments, all combined together, make His full attractive personality. The whole Bhagavad Puranam is practically a vivid description of His fullness of attraction, and in the beginning of the same, the Lord Sri Krishna is discriminated from all the plenary manifestation of incarnation with emphasis on His becoming the original form of Godhead and personality of Godhead as He is. And considering all these features of His personal and transcendental qualities as described in all Vedic revealed scriptures, Lord Sri Krishna is undoubtedly the all-attractive eternal form of rasas. So what Prabhupada mentions here is that Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, that all avatars are emanation, either Kala or Amsa of the Lord. Ete Chamsa Kala, either Amsa of the Lord or Kala, other portions of Lord or portions of plenary portions. So either you are directly expansion of Krishna or you are expansion of Mahavishnu, who is expansion of Krishna, basically. Karna or Shirudakashaya Vishnu. So, but all of them, all incarnations, whether they are Vishnu Tattvas or they are including everyone, they are Tadekatma Rupa or Avesha Rupa, they are all simply portions or plenary portions of the Lord. But Krishna is fountainhead. From Him everything originates, including Narayana. So with all these qualities described, the conclusion is that Krishna is undoubtedly all attractive eternal form of rasas. That also relates to the Leela that when Krishna took Arjun to Mahavishnu's place out of the coverings of universe. No? And when Krishna and Arjun appear in front of Lord Narayana, he say, I just wanted to see you both. And the acharyas explain in commentaries that why? Because Krishna's feature is so attractive that even Lord Narayana is attracted to see him. Who is Lord Narayan? Is nobody than Krishna showing his Aishwaryas, opulences. No. So original form of Gokar is two-hand form, Shyama Sundara. And his expansion is Narayana. When he wants to show the opulence, then he is taking this form of Narayana Rupa, Vaikunthapati. No. But when he is acting just as a human-like, in the sweetest pastimes, then the original form of Gokar is two-hand form, Shyama Sundara. So we should not mistake that there is any competition between Narayana and Krishna, because this is the same person in different form. Just like Prabhupada gives an example of high court judge. He may, in home and family, may be very personal and may be addressed by his own name. Wife may call him dear husband, or children call him father, or like that. But in the court, once he enters in his different dress, then Your Majesty, with great awe and reverence, has to be addressed. Otherwise, you know, you pay fine or you go to jail, basically. You know. So it's the same person, but it's addressed differently and related differently for different purpose. It's the same person. So I'm sure that Mataji's husband is policeman. I'm sure she doesn't have to come home and do like this to the husband. No, this is a relation, it's different. Yeah? But I'm sure others people do. It's the same thing. Yeah? When Krishna comes to hand form, he doesn't want formalities. He wants intimate relationships. So he doesn't demand, I'm God. And most of devotees, indeed, all Vrindavan devotees, they have no idea that Krishna is Supreme Personality. Or even if they know, it doesn't bother them. That is not the most important thing in their life. Simply they love Krishna. But Narayan shows, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Just don't make any mistake. Don't think we are same. You know, we are not same. I'm Supreme Lord, you bow down. This is the mood. This is the deal. This is mercy of Lord for people who can't get it right. No, he shows. Okay, I'm Supreme Lord. Forehand form. No? So this is all explained here. In the present context of his transcendental features, he is the predominating lord of primary rasas called Shanta, transcendental inaction, Dasya, transcendental servitorship, Sakya, transcendental fraternity, Vatsalya, transcendental conjugation, in his transcendental form in relation with the denizens of Brajbhumi. He is the embodiment of spiritual bliss. The spiritual bliss is described in Brahma Sutra also. Anandamaya Vyasa, for example. So here, what Prabhupada said basically is that Krishna is enjoyer of five primary rasas. Every soul has one of these five relationships with God already. Already, eternal form. We have this gross body, Stula Sharira. We have Sukshma Sharira, subtle body of mind, intelligence and ego, made of millions of desires, feelings. And you have the subtle, most subtle, the spiritual body, Nitya Sharira, Swarupa. Soul has a form, which is covered now. And that Swarupa is your eternal form in one of these particular rasa, either Shanta Rasa, neutrality, or Dasya, servitorship, or Sakya, friendship, Vatsalya, parenthood, and Madhurya, conjugal relation with God. So all of us, we have already a relation with God, but now it's covered. So Krishna is predominating Lord of five primary rasas. In his transcendental form relation with Dennis Brajmoor, he's the embodiment of spiritual bliss. So this is the real purpose of creation. Why do we exist? To exchange loving feelings with God. This is the purpose of existence. This is the purpose of every soul, to give pleasure to the Lord in one of these five rasas. And then these five rasas, they have many divisions, many flavors, many type of relationship. Dasya, not that all dasyas are like robots, everyone is same. No. For example, there are devotees who are dasas of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So they will bring water in the morning. That will be discussed in Bhakti Rasamrita. But because this shloka summarizes all book, basically all is included. This is what Prabhupada speaks about. They will bring water for Krishna for bathing in the morning. They'll prepare his bed. They'll bring fresh clothes. That famous photo of Mother Yashoda putting belt around Krishna, and another boy is tying Krishna's ankle belt. No? So that boy is Dasyaras, and you can see Krishna with flute, he hits him on the head, and all Krishna's friends are joking and laughing, because he's certain, he joked, he teased him a little bit. So Dasyaras. Now, Shiva and Brahma also classified in Dasyaras. But their Dasyarasa, and compare this boy Dasyaras, is a big difference. Dasyarasa of Goloka is different from Dasyarasa in Vaikuntha. Dasyarasa Vaikuntha is different from Dasyarasa within material world. So there are so many classifications of Dasyarasa. So what is it? Variety is mother of enjoyment. So many varieties. It's not boring, you know. And it's not superior or inferior that, oh, what is my rasa? Maybe, oh, Gokul Prabhu must be Gopi, Madhurya rasa. But maybe I'm Dasya rasa. I'll finish again kitchen cooking. So one should not think like that. No, some people may have doubts, you know, that, you know. Look, the soul in his swarupa is fully satisfied in his position. And nobody can please Bhagavan the way you can please him. It's every individual person. Everyone is individual. The way you serve Lord, nobody can replace, nobody can exchange. There is nothing like better or worse in spiritual world. All are giving pleasure to Lord in unique way. And Lord expands in unlimited forms and deals with all devotees, giving pleasure to everyone with his by his transcendental exchanges. So nobody is neglected, nobody is inferior. This is completely material way of looking at rasas with Krishna. Krishna enjoys cows, and Krishna enjoys with gopis. Who is better? There's nothing like that who is better. Krishna is the best. This is who is better. You know. So we should not like that, you know. You know. And then the next question, person who thinks like this, oh, how to become gopi? That will be the next question. Yeah. So let us not get into material thoughts or material approach to the rasa tattva. It's not exactly like this, you know. It's no mistakes there. No any. Nobody will be neglected in spiritual world. That is Krishna's message. Remember when Krishna was marrying Satya, she was thinking, oh, I'll be seventh wife. She wanted to marry Krishna, but she felt already Rukmini is there, Satya Bhama is there, Jambavati is there, Kalindi is there. What I'm going to do? I'll be maid servant, I'll broom their house. That's all what I'm going to do. Still I want to marry Krishna. Then Krishna showed six bulls he conquered by expanding six forms. And Satya thought, ah, what a relief. Lord will not neglect me. He can expand. Other husbands, let them not try to do that. Not possible for Jiva. But Bhagavan married 16,108 wives, expanded 16,108 forms. Nobody was neglected. Built 16,108 palaces. So if you want to accept another wife, no problem. Please expand. First the palace and then the form. You know? Then it's okay. Then it's possible. So this is what Krishna showed, that no jiva, no soul is neglected. Nobody is dissatisfied or, the, you know, superior, inferior caste in Krishna rasas. Nothing like that. Okay, next. So for other rasas, which are secondary and individually connected with him, he is very properly described in Bhagavatam on the arena of the King Kamsa of Mathura. He is described there as follows. Now, what is the thing? The thing is when Krishna entered into Mathura to fight with Kamsa, different type of people were sitting there, and everybody saw Krishna differently. No. So how? Wrestlers, they saw him like a thunderbolt. Because they felt, this is some, they look young boy, but look, he some special power is there, he's going to smash us like thunderbolt. Wrestlers, they saw him like this. Because Kamsa arranged wrestling match thinking, my wrestlers, Mushtika and Parthi, they will kill Krishna. But when wrestlers saw Krishna, they saw, oh, this thunderbolt is coming. Okay. For ordinary man, he was most perfect form of a man. The ordinary people think, he is not wrestler, he is not He's man like us, but he's really nice, looking good and walking nicely and has his charisma. They were impressed by his personality. Okay. Now all the women of Mathura, they saw Krishna, who is all attractive. For the woman, he appeared to be Cupid personified, or the most desire of the opposite sex. So Gopi, so all these ladies in Mathura, they didn't see Krishna's thunderbolt. They were not afraid of him. They said, oh, this is very attractive boy. Village beauty came in the city. Then, for the coward's man, he appeared to be most beloved kinsman. The gopas from Vrindavan who came also there, they were, he was his own, from his, you know, he was one among us. This is how they considered. No? For the culprit-minded rulers, he appeared to be most redundant governor. So for all the rulers, they were afraid, oh, this is another ruler, another king, another powerful, empowered ruler, controller. For the parents, he appeared to be a small child. No? But Vasudeva and Devaki saw, oh, this is our child coming. The wrestlers, they didn't think he is a child. Neither the ladies of Mathura, they also didn't think he is a child. But mother and father, and elder gopas and gopis, they thought, oh, this tender body of Krishna, how is going to fight with these heavy wrestlers? No? They were afraid, oh, they will harm Krishna. Krishna's body is so delicate. So same Krishna is seen in different rasas by different people due to the different rasas they had with Krishna. This is exactly what is this shloka quoted for, no? No? He identified himself with the all-pervading universal self for less intelligent persons. So those who are not able to understand personality of Godhead, he appears as a universal form. He appeared to mystics to be the absolute truth. And those yogis who were sitting there, they thought, that's it, that's the absolute truth himself coming. For Vaishnavas, or the descendants of Vishnu, he appeared to be the highest worshipful deity. And how the devotees saw him? This is our worshipful Lord coming. No? And thus, known to him respectively, know as according to the respective power of knowing him. Hear this one? He was known to the knowers according to their power to know him. Means that Lord revealed himself in particular rasa according to their taste. It's not boring, it's spiritual. Everyone is equal in front of God. No, everyone is different. And this is variety and this is enjoyment of spiritual world. Oh, right. I missed the one, yeah. Bhojapate, to the kings of Bhojas, he appeared to be dead person before the king of Bhoja or Kamsa. Kamsa was king of Bhoja. So what he saw, Kamsa, how he saw him? Dead is coming. No? So this is amazing. And this is a Krishna. This is Supreme Personal. Everybody saw him differently. This shloka is quoted to show what? What is our subject? Akula Rasamrita Murti. What is he? All rasas are imbibed in him. He reciprocates with all rasas. And that's why that shloka was quoted by Prabhupada. Okay, let me see further what Prabhupada said. This is very important because this is a Prabhupada's own analysis. So Prabhupada gives us 12 rasas. And so here, this is important. In the creation of the Lord, there is nothing more than above mentioned standard 12 rasas in matter of dealing with one another. So what are the 12 rasas? Yesterday we already discussed, no? That apart from these 5 rasas, there are another 7 secondary rasas. So anything you experience, anything, anybody, materially and spiritually, either is anger, or is wonder, or is conjugal relation, or is comic, or is chivalry, or mercy, or servitorship, or friendship, or ghastliness, or shocking, or neutral, or parental affection. These are the primary 12 feelings that you experience, whether in material world, between anybody relationship, nothing else than this 12. And these, they have now combinations and details, varieties among themselves. But this is a primary 12 relationship among us. So this is the point here, that in the creation of Lord, there is nothing more than above mentioned standard 12 rasas in matter of dealing with one another. Okay. Now when these rasas are directed towards the Lord, they become purified, they become spiritual. This is the point. They purify one, they become spiritual. When somebody's friendship is directed to a Lord, then becomes Sakyaras. And like that, any of these rasas related to the Lord. Activities of living beings are accelerated by one of the rasas, either in its original form or in perverted form. So this is what Prabhupada says. Anywhere you have these rasas, even in material world, but either it's in pure spiritual form directed to Krishna and devotees, or is perverted form related to another jiva, or related to matter, or related to one another in that sense. But anyway, you have these rasas. No? What do you call your wife? What is it? Is it conjugal rasa? But it's misdirected. Should be true Krishna. No? Krishna is the really object of the rasa. When you have your friend, what is it? Sakya rasa? No? All of us, we are experiencing. Okay. But all the rasas are emanation from transcendence. There is no existence of any sort of reciprocation of rasa if it is not emanated from the Supreme. Everything that be has its original source of emanation from Supreme Being. And that is the confirmation by the first Sutra of Vedanta, Janma Dhyasya Taha. Janma Adhyasya. Everything is born from Him. So, whatever we experience in material world, originally, that exists in pure form in spiritual world. So, conjugal relation is there, but in pure form. Friendship is there, but in pure form. Parenthood is there, in pure form. Everything is there. But there is perfect. Why? Because it's related to Krishna and it is eternal. Here in material is imperfect. Why? Because it's misdirected. It's directed to another jiva and is temporary. And instead of rasa giving pleasure, rasa gives a suffering. Say you love somebody and somehow or other you get separated. Pain. Simply pain. Greatest pain. And in material world, when somebody dies, that's it. No more sambandha. No more joining together. No? And this is great pain. No? But in spiritual world, you love somebody, and even if he gets separated, that separation invokes more ecstatic feelings, more thoughts about the loving person, and gives more transcendental pleasure. Appears as a pain, but it's transcendental bliss. It's absolute. There is no negative aspect of rasa in spiritual world. So when Sitaram got separated for months and months and months, how much time Sita spent with Ravana? Ramayana. Hmm? 6 months. No? So what is it? Apparently appear like suffering, but the vipralamba, the separation of Sitaram in the rasa tattva, in spiritual matter, is higher transcendental ecstasy than sambandha when they are together. Materially, complete opposite. Materially, separation means more suffering. Spiritual separation means that your mind is more absorbed in Lord, in each other, and Lord in devotee, than in presence. So, gives more transcendental ecstasy. So this is the pure form of spiritual feelings. Apparently pain, apparently suffering, but it's transcendental ecstasy. It's biggest samadhi. So this is going to be discussed here. Everything that be, okay, that we discuss. And Sri Krishna, being the original form of Godhead, He is conclusively the reservoir fountainhead of all rasas described above. And such, the rasa in relation with Him becomes the absolute in nature. The Lord being, you see, the point is very simple. All of us, we are relishing these rasas 24 hours a day. You can't live without this. You can't live without relationship, and you won't have relationship unless you have some pleasure from relationship, unless you are forced. No? And then you don't like that relationship, but still you have relationship. What can you do? Pay the tax. You want or you don't want. No? So this type of relationship you don't like. It's a dasya, but it's with Gada, it's enforced. Nobody likes. That's why everybody tries to escape the tax. No? So, but anyway, why? Because it's perverted. Because it's material, doesn't give a pleasure. Or give pleasure to one side only. No, the tax collector, the ministers, they share the pleasure. No? So, the point is that you can't live without these rasas. Anyway, we are having the rasas. But now, such rasas in relation with him, with Krishna, become absolute in nature. So this is all the point. That we should re-establish our relation with Krishna. Indeed, even English word religion is a Latin word, religare. Religare. Re means to do again something. Repeat, record, repair, do something again. Ligare, ligaments, means joins. To again join with Lord. This is religion. Yoga means same. Add it up. Link it. Link it. Karma yoga, link it through work. Jnana yoga, link it through the knowledge. Jnana yoga, link it through meditation. Bhakti, with knowledge, work, meditation, and love and devotion, link with Lord. Perfect. No? So this is the point, that all spiritual love means to purify these rasas, to re-establish our relation with God. What was it Prabhupada said yesterday? To repair. What was it? Renovate. To renovate our relation. Why? Because we had relation. We are spiritual beings. Eternally we have relation with God. But it was damaged by the illegal desires, as Prabhupada say. Illegal desire means desire to enjoy separately from God. Thinking, I'm Akila Rasamrita Murti, and all of you should serve me, and everything is meant for my pleasure. Aham Mameti. This is a madness of the jiva. This is illusion. What is that Gita says? Why jiva fell down? Iccha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohana bharat. Two illusions come upon him. Iccha, desire to enjoy, dvesha, and envy of the Lord. Why Lord is Akila Rasamrita Murti? I am Akila Rasamrita Murti. Yeah? And jiva is so greedy, so nasty, by any means wants to enjoy these rasas. What is it? It wants to imitate God. Yeah? But when jiva serves God, gets the pleasure. Instead of imitating God, you serve God and you get pleasure. Prabhupada gives a simple example, like a hand. If hand wants to enjoy separately, it's not possible. But if hand serves the body, gets the shakti. It fulfills the purpose. Prabhupada say another example, the screw of some big machine. In machine, when he's in machine, he has such a value because this machine is in crores and crores. It's one screw has such an importance there. But if that screw is somewhere here on the street, is meaningless, has no validity. So jiva disconnected from the Lord has no meaning, is meaningless, life is meaningless, and jiva is suffering. As soon as jiva re-establishes his relation with God in one of these five primary or seven secondary rasas, then jiva's life becomes meaningful. And that's the goal of life, and that is the purpose of life. Okay. The Lord being the absolute truth, any one of the above rasas is absolute in nature, in relationship or reciprocation with his service. The Lord being the enjoyer of all the rasas, the reciprocator, in either directly or indirectly, constitutional servitor of Lord exchanging the different rasas. And therefore the devotees who serve the Lord directly in the primary rasas of Dasya, Sakya, Vatsala, Madhurya are super servitors or eternal servitors than those who serve him in secondary rasas of Rudra, Adbhuta, Hasya, which are seven in all. Actual position living being is to serve Lord and nothing more. The living being cannot become the absolute master at any stage of his existence, namely materially or spiritually. So this is a definition of jiva. Anishvara jiva rupe. Anishvara. Jiva is never controller, never Ishvara. Anishvara jiva rupe. Jiva is never supreme controller, supreme enjoyer, supreme creator, never, never Ishvara. Jiva is always servant. And once you understand, you're pushing screw in wrong place. When you find where is the place, then it fits. We are servants of God. And this gives yayatma supersedari. That gives pleasure to the jiva. Actual position of the living being is to serve Lord and nothing more. The living being cannot become the absolute master at any stage of his existence, namely material or spiritual. Materially, he can falsely pose himself as the master, and being baffled in that attempt, such servitor desire to annihilate his existence by becoming one with the Lord. Even that idea, that I will merge with the Lord, become one with the Lord, that also, it Swarupa won't be revealed. In the Brahman, impersonal rays of the Lord, Brahma Jyoti, the Swarupa of the Lord is in the form of seed. Jiva is not showing his Swarupa, spiritual form in Brahma Jyoti. In Brahma Jyoti you have no form, simply a conscious of your existence, but not spiritual form, is in the form of bija, is in the form of seed. So you cannot serve Lord. You cannot see the Lord. You can't see even other jiva shining next to you, because no sense, no spiritual senses are awarded to that. So that again, what is your relation with Lord? No relation with Lord. So even Brahman, Brahmananda, will not satisfy the soul. Therefore, Bhagavatam says that from Brahman, jiva falls down to material world. Avishuddha buddhi, due to not perfect intelligence, due to not understanding what is my relation with God, what is my rasa with the Lord. So what happened? The jivas come down from Brahman and they come back to material world again, take up what takes up relationships. Soul must have relationship. It cannot be in position that there is no relationship. It's unnatural. So even Brahman, moksha or Brahman, by Vaishnavas, all Vaishnava acharyas, they rejected it. Why? Because there is no opportunity to serve Lord, no opportunity to see his form, no opportunity to assist in his pastimes. It's a curse. You cannot re-establish your rasa with the Lord in Brahman. So this is why this Sayujya Mukti, merging into Brahman, is completely rejected by Vaishnava acharyas. Who was that? Prabodhananda Saraswati. What he says? Kaivalyam narakayate. Kaivalyam, merging into Brahman, is like a hell. Tripura akasha pushpayate. Going to the Swarga Loka, enjoying heavenly planets. This is imaginary, illusionary happiness, like flowers in the sky. We don't want this. See what Vaishnava says, no? Kaivalyam narakayate. To become one with the Lord means losing opportunity to serve him. Better to go to hell. In hell, at least Yamaraj is there, pure devotee, Vaishnava. There is some hope of serving the Lord. No? But in Brahman, there is no hope of serving the Lord. So devotee doesn't want this. Famous prayer of Hanuman, when Lord Ram say, what do you want? I'll give you moksha, whatever you want. He said, "What, Lord, I'm sure you can give me moksha, or you can merge me with your Brahman, but please, don't put me anywhere where I cannot serve you. Whatever blessing you give me should not disturb my service to you." Dasya rasa is higher than impersonal understanding. No? Okay. The desire to become one with Lord is not even within the jurisdiction of Shantarasa. And therefore accept the five primary rasas, or all other rasas are exhibited outside the spiritual realm. So you understand that this Rodra rasa, Bhayanaka rasa, fearfulness, shocking, and these things, these are only manifested within material world in relation to Lord. In spiritual, only five primary rasas are there. This is the message. And then idea of becoming one with the Lord doesn't come even to Shantarasa. The lowest of relationship, lowest or first of relationship in spiritual world is Shantarasa. Shantarasa, that we serve Lord in neutrality. For example, rivers, Krishna's flute, cows, trees, these are all devotees in Shantarasa. That Krishna used them. Rather, they do service neutrally. Whenever Lord wants, basically, they reciprocate. You know? So these are devotees in Shantaras. So they give pleasure to Krishna in that way. Provide fruits whenever Krishna wants, give him shed, give water was just suitable for bathing. Like that. Krishna wants peaceful water, peaceful. When Krishna wants little waves on the Yamuna, Yamuna does the waves. When Krishna wants to look at Yamuna, Yamuna brings up all the lotuses and looks like Yamuna is looking at Krishna. So like that. There is reciprocation. But this is Shantaras. But still, you are with Krishna and you are serving Lord in that way. But impersonal is not even that. So it's not included in the spiritual relationship. Okay. But his oneness is transcendental realized in the primary five rasas, because in the absolute realm, although there is constant reciprocation of the primary rasas between Lord and his eternal reciprocators of eternal servitors, qualitatively there is no difference between Lord and the servitors. In the absolute realm, there is no difference between Radharani and Krishna, or between Yashoda and Krishna, and so on. The reciprocators in the absolute realm and in the relative world are essentially and qualitatively one and the same, but qualitatively there is difference between two, namely the Lord and servitors. The Lord is the immense source of supply of all rasas, while the living entities are recipients only in their different capacity. In other words, the Lord is the whole, while the servitors are constitutional parts and parsas only. The part and parsa have therefore limited potency to enjoy, and as such the part and parsa of Lord cannot be actually said as enjoyers in proper sense of the terms. Such reciprocators of the rasas therefore properly termed as the enjoyed or the servitor partaker of the enjoyment enjoyed by the Lord. So this is a... What is the point? The point is that in spiritual world, Jiva is eternal. Jiva is Satchitanand. Bhagavan is Satchitanand also. So quality is same in the sense that absolute nature of Jiva is there, spiritual, as the Lord. Lord is a person, Jiva is a person. But again, qualitatively difference is there. Quality is there, quantity. Quantity means, is again, quantity of qualities. That Lord is still supreme enjoyer, predominator. The Jiva will never have same powers like the Lord. You may say that one drop of ocean and the ocean chemically is the same. If you analyze chemically one drop of ocean, you will understand what is the chemical composition of ocean. But can you take bath in one drop? You cannot. Can you accommodate all these aquatics in one drop of ocean? No. So you can say, one drop of ocean, and is not ocean. Simultaneously one and different. Simultaneously quality same, but quantity is different. So Jiva is one with the Lord. Because his Jiva is spirit, person, Satchitanand, and Lord is Satchitanand. So in that sense we are same. But in other sense, still he is Supreme Lord, and we are his energy. Still he is superior in any way. Even qualities are not same. No, we are Satchitanand, but Sat, we are eternal, Lord is eternal. Chit, we have knowledge, God has knowledge. But our knowledge is never equal to God's knowledge. Ananda, we enjoy with Lord, but Lord enjoys with all devotees. So his Anandam is higher than ours. So simultaneously one and different. This is philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Achintya Beda Veda Tattva. Just like all of us are humans. But we are all different. You are all Indians. And Narendra Modi is Indian. So you are Prime Minister. You are Indian. Modi is Indian. He is Prime Minister. So you are Prime Minister. No, you are not. You see. So yes, you are equal in one aspect to him. But in other aspect you are different. So this is perfect philosophy. Cannot be absolute difference. Lord and Jiva is completely different. Then there is a question of understanding. Where is the question of rasa? Where is the question of affection? If we are completely different nature, different substance altogether, different tattva, then there will be no relationship. But because we are made on image of God, as the Bible says, no? Then there is a similarity. The Lord has a feelings, therefore we have a feelings. The Lord has desire, therefore we have desire. The Lord wants relationship, therefore we want relationship. Lotus in Vedanta Sutra described, Anandamaya Bhyasad. He is made of Anandam. And same sutra refers to Jiva. Jiva is also made of Anandam. So there is this material Anandam, which is not Anandam, which is called Sukaduk. You can't tell him Anandam, because it's Sukanduk. And then you have Brahmananda, happiness of merging with one. And then you have Premananda, happiness of exchanging love and feelings with the Lord. So what is that? Paramananda. Paramananda is that is re-establish one's rasa with the Lord and serve in that position. So Jiva is always part and parcel of Lord. Equal and different, eternally. So equal in that sense, already we discussed, no? Spiritual. Although the rasas of reciprocation is equally partaken both by Lord and servitors, the Lord is the predominator or enjoyer, while the parts and parcel are predominated or enjoyed. So this is the point. There is material nature. How it is called in Sanskrit? Prakriti. Prakriti is female. Correct? Jiva is also. Tatastha Shakti. It's a Prakriti. By nature we are female. Why female? Because female is considered to be enjoyed. And the male is enjoying. There is one Purusha, Parama Purusha, Purushota, Bhagavan. And all others are Prakriti. So all of us are meant for his enjoyment. So you may say, husband is enjoying wife. The pleasure is same. Moreover, if you consider the spiritual realm, Bhagavan says, my devotees enjoy more than me. So, but still, terms is used, he is enjoyer, we are enjoyed. But how Jiva is enjoying? As a cooperator, as a servant. So as a servant, Jiva can actually enjoy the topmost pleasure. Even God says, I will also come as a servant and see what is this Krishna Bhakti, my devotees are relishing. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu avatar. No? That Krishna is seeing Radharani's transcendental ecstasies and he says, she looks more happy than me. How is this possible? I am Bhagavan. I should taste that one also. So Bhagavan has this Shakti, that he becomes as a devotee and he develops love for God and tastes it from that side. We cannot do that. We cannot tomorrow decide, okay, today I'll become Bhagavan and see how is that from that side. It doesn't work. It won't happen. Don't even try. But Bhagavan can do that. This is called supreme enjoyer. No? Like now you have a husband and wife. This lifetime you can't change the role. Not even by shouting. Yeah? But next lifetime you can become a wife and she will become husband. No? But Bhagavan can enjoy any side. He enjoys as a father, he enjoys as a son, he enjoys as a friend, he enjoys as a lover. All enjoyments are meant for him. Any side. So he comes and enjoys as a devotee also. Because he's Purushottam. Purushottam means supreme enjoyer. Govindam Adi Purusham. Purusha in Sanskrit means enjoyer. Actually, we say person. But actually, if you see Sanskrit dictionary, Purusha means enjoyer. And Prakriti means enjoyed. So this we should understand. That we are servants of God. That's all. That's all philosophy. Finish seminar over. We understand that we are servants of Lord, perfection achieved. Soon as we think, we are the predominators, we are enjoyers, we are controllers, this is Maya, this is illusion. Anisha Jiva Rupi. This is a problem. So real enjoyment of the living entity is realized in that way. Otherwise, he can simply merge himself with the Lord by annihilating his constitutional position as he is emanated from the Supreme. This constitutional position of part and parcel are predominantly existent in the absolute realm, whereas as the secondary rasas are manifested in the relative world. When Lord therefore desires to enjoy the secondary rasa with his servitors, such reciprocation is brought into existence in the relative world by desire of the Lord. Okay, so for example, the primary rasas of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, these are in spiritual world. Now, Lord wants to enjoy fighting. Yesterday we were discussing last night, Veera rasa, or Bhishmadeva. No? Lord wants to enjoy fighting spirit. So what happens? That who is going to fight in spiritual world? All devotees are there. Nobody is there to fight with the Lord. So Jai Vijay, they come to please the Lord. They say, Lord, we know your desire to fight. And all these demons, they're like a flies, like a ants. They have no Shakti. We are your servants. Therefore we have Shakti. We'll give you good fight. So they take three birds, as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and Kamsa and Shishupal, Dantavakra. Correct? Three lives they take to give good fight to the Lord. Viraras. So Lord experiences viraras. Shocking. Bibatsa. What is that? Bhayanaka. Raudra. Anger. All these rasas the Lord is also enjoying. So we will discuss later. So point is here that when Lord wants to enjoy these seven secondary rasas, that is done when he performs his pastimes in material world. These secondary rasas, when they are actually dovetailed with absolute person, the result is the same as that of primary rasa. Means that perfection will be achieved. Even Kamsa, who was in fear, he is example of that Bhayanaka rasa. He was always in fear of Krishna. But 24 hours he was thinking of Krishna. That thinking of Krishna made him purified so much that he actually achieved form and went into one of Vaikuntha planets, above Brahman. That will be discussed later on, special. Why? Because he focused so much on form of the Lord. Those who did not, demons who did not focus on form of the Lord, be attracted to form of the Lord, they achieve Brahman. But Kamsa gets special blessing because of more personal dealings than others. That will be discussed in Nectar of Devotion, details later. You know. And of course we know. Anyway, let's keep something for later. Therefore, Vivatsa Rasa display between Lord Kamsa also terminates in liberation of Kamsa on account of Sri Krishna becoming the absolute person. So Prabhupada just mentioned he got moksha, but he didn't specify what kind of moksha. There are five types of moksha. Sayujya, merging into Brahman, which is rejected. Then Sarupya means attaining to similar form as the Lord, forehand form, for example, in Vaikuntha. Then Salokya means attaining the same planet where the Lord lives. You go to Vaikuntha planet. And then Samipya, achieving same opulences or same powers, cities of the Lord. No? So moksha means this four. Later on you will see Madhvacharya's definition of moksha. Moksham Vishnu Angrilabham. To attain lotus feet of Vishnu, service of Vishnu, this is moksha. No? Okay. What's the time? 9:20. How much we have moksha? A lot. Okay. So we'll stop here. We'll take prasadam. And then we'll continue later. This is Prabhupada's own explanation of the shloka. So this is elaborate fully. It's a old English in that sense, you know. But okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue later. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.